Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
We thank you for joining us on this 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. I am Jesse DeLeon, and normally we are here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, but Bishop Mulvey taking some well-deserved time off. We are here with the Most Reverend Father James Stembler. It is always a pleasure to have you here, Father. We welcome you.
Oh my goodness, it's been great to be here.
Yes, Father, thank you. And how are you on this first Sunday of August?
I'm doing fine.
Yes, we are in the throes of summer.
That's true. Very true.
Well, our gospel today is from St. John. If you could please proclaim that for us now, Father.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered them and said, Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal. So they said to him, What can we do to accomplish the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. So they said to him, What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God that is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us that remember last week's Gospel, this is a continuation of that, where we had the miracle of the loaves and the fishes.
Right. For several weeks now, the Gospel reading will be coming from John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse of Jesus. So
the people are looking for Jesus, and what they're really looking for is they want Jesus to do something for them. Is that what they're looking for, or do they just want food?
It's interesting, and Jesus raises the point, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. That raises a very interesting question for us. Why are we followers of Jesus? Am I following Jesus because he's done something for me? Or am I following Jesus because I understand he has the words of eternal life? Is it something deeper? I think the Gospel of John, constant dialogues that take place in the Gospel of John seem to be taking place on two different levels. the people, in this case, this crowd, in other cases, the Jewish officials, they seem to be on a very surface level, very practical level. But Jesus seems to be in a much deeper and spiritual level. And I believe the hope is that the people will begin to see the wisdom of deepening their understanding and understand and come to see Jesus where he is in this deeper level. The unfortunate thing is that it seems, at least at this point in this chapter six, the people are definitely at the surface level, and they don't seem to want to deepen their understanding. They were fed in the feeding of the 5,000 plus. And so Jesus is pointing out that that's why you're looking for me. Why do we follow Jesus? Is it for something deep? And is that deepening within us? Or is it for something just surface? I mean, I've known people throughout my ministry. Maybe we've all done this to some extent where, okay, God, I'm going to do this. And because I do this, it's something so wonderful. What are you going to do for me in return? What are you going to give to me? And it's all about doing. I think Jesus here is touching on something that I think the entire Gospel of John really touches on, and that is we need to be. We need to be the creation we are. It's not about doing. It's about being. It's not about a checklist. I did this, 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 I'm fine. But I think we're being taught to simply be the creation whom God has created in us, and simply being that and filling what that means out completely. And I think Jesus raises the point in how he first addresses the crowd here. You're looking for me not because you saw signs. You're not looking for something deep. You came looking for me because I fed you and you liked that, which again raises the question, why are we followers of Jesus?
Very true. So you talked about the checklist, and I think that's something that all of us can get wrapped up in. But I like the thought about being, because then being will lead us to do what he wants us to do.
Right. We'll engage in that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone, I think a lot of people out there know I like the opera very much. If they don't, they really haven't heard me talk a lot, I guess. But, you know, think of the aria from Tosca, Visi d'Arte, the big aria in Act Two. I lived my life for art. I lived my life for love. I've brought flowers to the statue of the Madonna every day. I've been in church every day. I've done it. Why is all of this going on with me? Tosca's not having a happy day. Why is all of this happening to me? And I think a lot of times we can be that way. You know, I've done this. I've given to this organization. I've sat in the first pew. I've done all of those things, and I've been very good. How come all this stuff happens to me? Checklist, checklist, checklist. I think, you know, we're called to be and to live into what it means to be a creation of God. And if we truly live in that fully, we'll see that we'll be doing things. Because, not because we're checking off on a list, but because this is who I am.
And that's what we need to sit and reflect on and consider.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the point that Jesus raises. And then he'll go on and, you know, Moses gave us the bread from heaven to eat. My Father gives you the bread from heaven. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then the well give us that bread. And then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am. And of course, more will happen next week, but I mean, at this point, what we're being told is Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is that which brings life. Jesus is that help to us to remind us that we are called to go deeper. What is it in the Gospels when they're fishing and they don't get any fish? Jesus says, go out into the deep and drop your nets. Go into the depths. There's a whole world there that we need to understand. We don't need to be staying on the surface, and that's all we need to know.
And as I was doing a little background for today's program, the words seeking and finding are one of the central themes in John's Gospels, because it's associated with discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the people are seeking, but what are they seeking? They want a full belly.
They want a full belly. They don't really understand much beyond that.
It's about eternal life. Jesus is calling them to go deeper and to seek and find what is deeper. Why do we want to hold everything to the surface? There's a whole world mm-hmm. in the depths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of, you know, it's something that Jesus is reminding us we need to understand. Why was Peter an obstacle to Jesus? It's in one of the synoptic gospels. Well, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. Why? You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. I interpret that to mean you're thinking simply on the surface, and you're not seeing things with the eyes of faith. We need to go deeper.
Thank you, Father. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for August. Our Shepherd's View will continue. We welcome you back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Father James Stembler. And because today is the first Sunday of August, we will share with you now our Word of Life, another beautiful scripture passage from Matthew chapter 18, verse 4.
Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Who is the greatest? Who is the most powerful? Who is the winner in society, in the church, in politics, or in the world of finance? This question runs through relationships, guides choices, and determines strategies. It is the dominant logic to which we may inadvertently resort when trying to ensure positive and efficient outcomes for those around us. Here, the Gospel of Matthew presents us with Jesus' disciples. They have accepted the announcement of the kingdom of heaven and want to know what will be required of them if they are to be leaders of the new people of God. Who is the greatest? In response, Jesus makes one of his unpredictable gestures. He places a child in the middle of the small crowd, and he accompanies this gesture with unequivocal words. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus contrasts a competitive and self-sufficient mentality with the weakest and most vulnerable element in society, the person who has no role to boast about or defend, and who is totally dependent on others and spontaneously relies on their help. However, this is not an invitation to be passive or to avoid proactive and responsible behavior. It is a freely taken act of the will. Jesus invites us to become small, to be childlike, and this requires intention and commitment from us if we are to make a decisive change. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is how Focolare founder Chiara Lubich describes in a passage in October 2003, A Child of the Gospel. Children trustingly abandon themselves to their father and mother. They believe in their love. Authentic Christians, like children, believe in God's love and abandon themselves into the arms of their Heavenly Father, placing unfailing trust in Him. Children depend on their parents for everything. We too, children of the gospel, depend on the Father for everything. He knows what we need, even before we ask Him, and He gives it to us. The kingdom of God is not a reality to conquer and win, but a gift to receive from the hands of the Father. Chiara emphasizes how children entrust themselves totally to their Father and learns everything from Him. In the same way, the evangelical child puts everything in God's mercy and, forgetting the past, begins a new life every day, which is open to the promptings of the Spirit and is always creative. Children cannot learn to speak on their own. They need someone to teach them. The disciple of Jesus learns everything from the Word of God to the point of speaking and living according to the gospel. Children tend to imitate their parents. So, the child of the gospel loves everyone because the Father makes His Son rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes it rain on the just and on the unjust. This child is the first to love because the Father loved us when we were still sinners. The child loves gratuitously, without interest, because the Heavenly Father does so. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In Colombia, Vicente and his family experienced the challenges of the pandemic under a very strict quarantine regime. He writes, "When the curfew started, daily life changed abruptly. My wife and two older children had to prepare for some university exams. The youngest could not get used to online learning. No one in the house had time to take care of anyone else. This chaos was on the verge of exploding when I realized it was an opportunity to embody the art of loving in our new life according to the gospel. I set about tidying the kitchen, preparing food, and organizing meals. I am not an experienced cook, nor precise in my cleaning, but I realized that this would help to reduce the tensions of everyday life. What started out as an act of love for one day multiplied over several months. Other members of the family began to do the cleaning, tidying, and putting things away whenever they finished their work. Together we saw that the words of the gospel are true, and that creative love suggests how to put everything else in order."
I really like that last sentence. "Together we see how the words of the gospel are true. Creative love suggests how to put everything else in order." It's something to reflect on. And I think everything that you read shows how all of us need to aspire to a deeper level of humility. We cannot be boastful.
Right, right. We're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We're here to draw attention to God and the Creator and how we are His creation. So,
right. And it says, who's the most powerful? Who's the winner? Can't really think that way.
Right. You can imagine, I mean, talking about leadership and what does that mean? Authority, what does that mean? And standing a child in front? I mean, my goodness. What was it I was told when I was very young and my grandmother and great aunt would come and visit if I was sitting at the dining room table and I started to say something, they would look at me and say, Jimmy, children should be seen and not heard. That's how they were raised. A child didn't say anything at the table. And this is precisely who Jesus brings to when he's talking about authority. Why? Because a child knows that they need that adult. They need the father, the mother, grandparents. They need someone to help them be able to do what they need to do. You know, once we get taller, we get to this idea that I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. Well, we all need the one who created us. And the Creator, we need to have that type of childlike trust and humility to understand that Father, in this case, God the Father, can carry me through.
And it said here, this is not an invitation to be passive or to avoid proactive and responsible behavior. It's a freely taken act of the will. Jesus invites us to empty ourselves, to become small, to become childlike. And this requires intention and commitment from us if we are to make a decisive and meaningful change.
Right, right. I mean, you know, this is no excuse to be... Jesus says be childlike. He doesn't say be childish.
Right, right. So that's the intention and commitment for a decisive change. You know, Father, while you were reading this, I recalled something you said earlier about how children depend on the Father for everything. He knows what we need even before we ask Him for it, and He gives it to us. The kingdom of God is not a reality to conquer and win, but it is a gift to receive from the hands of the Father.
Right. I don't think life is something we're here to conquer or control or you know, have power over or whatever. Life is gift. And how often do we think of this life as a gift? How often do I think of the fact that I'm getting up every day and able to move around? How often do I see that as gift? But it is. I mean, this didn't have to be. We didn't have to be. It was freely given. And, you know, I sometimes think we need to understand that and not get up on pedestals. That's not what life is about.
To thank God every morning for the blessing of another day.
Right. And that's the gift of life is something that is so beautiful and so wonderful that we need to understand the goodness of human life and live that goodness out and see that goodness in all human life.
Yes, and so wonderful a phrase for us to reflect on this month. Thank you so much, Father Stembler. If you could now end the program with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Draw near to your servants, O Lord, and answer their prayers with unceasing kindness, that, for those who glory in you as their Creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.